Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and General David Petraeus and U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker are testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee today about the war in Iraq. Three of the committee members happen to be Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John McCain. This is just getting underway. Let's listen to about a minute and a half clip from Petraeus' opening statement.
Since Ambassador Crocker and I appeared before you 7 months ago, there has been significant but uneven security progress in Iraq. Since September, levels of violence and civilian deaths have been reduced substantially. Al-Qaeda, Iraq, and a number of other extremist elements have been dealt serious blows. The capabilities of Iraqi security force elements have grown, and there has been noteworthy involvement of local Iraqis and local security. Nonetheless, the situation in certain areas is still unsatisfactory and innumerable challenges remain. Moreover, as events in the past 2 weeks have reminded us, and as I have repeatedly cautioned, the progress made since last spring is fragile and reversible. Still, security in Iraq is better than it was when Ambassador Crocker and I reported to you last September, and it is significantly better than it was 15 months ago when Iraq was on the brink of civil war and the decision was made to deploy additional forces to Iraq. A number of factors have contributed to the progress that has been made. First, of course, has been the impact of increased numbers of coalition and Iraqi forces. You're well aware of the U.S. surge. Less recognized is that Iraq has also conducted a surge, adding well over 100,000 additional soldiers and police to the ranks of its security forces in 2007 and slowly increasing its capability to deploy and employ these forces.
General David Petraeus, minutes ago from his opening statement before the Senate Armed Services Committee, his long-awaited report on the troop surge. With me now is William Arkin. He writes the Early Warning blog for The Washington Post at WashingtonPost.com, and he's the author of a number of books on military affairs, the latest, Code Names, Deciphering U.S. Military Plans, Programs, and Operations in the Post-9/11 World. William Arkin, welcome to WNYC today. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, these hearings, as you well know, come just as things are starting to go worse again in Iraq. Insurgent bombings are up. The Iraqi army just failed a big test against the Mehdi army in Basra. President Bush has canceled the scheduled return of some American troops. So we're past the simple narrative of the troop surge is working, I think. But Petraeus in that clip sounded pretty bullish.
Well, I guess you can't say that there's anything particularly surprising about what the general or the ambassador said today. The fact that he says that Iraq is not on the brink of civil war, although he said it in a roundabout way, is quite the contention. Yet on the other hand, he said that one of the things that was unsatisfactory to him was that everything that is happening in Iraq is reversible, in which case you have to ask yourself, as the commander, how is it that he could have then therefore condoned the withdrawal of 30,000 troops that are going to happen in July? We're constantly told that the military commander on the ground is the person who is going to determine the size of the forces and the needs of the U.S. military. So if he says that, yes, we've achieved something in this window of time in which the surge occurred, and yet everything that we've achieved is reversible, he's essentially saying that we can't win, that there is no victory around the corner, that there's nothing we're really waiting for except for an election to take place so that a next president can solve the problem. I don't particularly think that that's a bad thing, but I think that we are sort of going through a little theater today in which we know that the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats are not going to be successful in forcing the withdrawal of U.S. forces. They're not going to be successful in taking money away from the troops. And so, in reality, the time that Petraeus and Ryan Crocker, the ambassador, are asking for now is really the time between now and the election in which they're saying, look, we're going to do the best we can to maintain the status quo because the responsible thing to do at this point is to leave the Iraq situation as stable as it can be so that the next president of the United States doesn't have to be put into a crisis situation to make a decision as to what to be done.
So it's a lame duck's Iraq policy, really.
It's not just lame duck, Brian. It's actually worse than that. If you read some of the quotes from Senate Republicans today Norm Coleman or others who have been extremely supportive of the war, what you see is really a universal statement that Iraq is a mess and people want to get out. And so what really is most stark to me is how out of touch John McCain is with American public opinion. Because if even the Senate Republicans who are on this committee are saying, we're disappointed, how do we get out of this mess, then the notion that there is an alternative for America, mm-hmm. the notion that there is some prospect of victory, that somehow we should not be, quote, surrendering, as McCain constantly says, is really out of touch.
Well, it's certainly out of touch according to the polls, but he would say that he's not concerned about that. He's concerned about doing the right thing. But before we compare the presidential candidates who are all on this committee, let me go back to the testimony clip that we played for a minute and your interpretation of it, because it sounds like, in a way, Petraeus is describing a stalemate, that the surge has worked to slow the insurgents, but the Iraqi government can't do it without us. So even with all these troops that were still keeping there, 130,000 Americans, whatever it is, things aren't getting too much worse, but things aren't getting too much better. And if we leave, the anticipation is that they'll collapse. So is that a stalemate?
Well, I suppose that you've described a stalemate in the sense that if you believe that the American strategy on the ground is in preparation of our withdrawal, then I guess you would say, well, we're essentially providing all of the backbone and capability for the Iraqi military, as we certainly saw this week in Basra, which is to say that they really can't operate independently of us and achieve anything on a military level. On the other hand, you know what? That's a little bit unfair to the Iraqi army, because we can't on a day-to-day basis say the real solution in Iraq is a political one and not a military one. And then all of a sudden, when a military event comes up in which what really is going on is politics, we're going to criticize the Iraqi army for not having a decisive victory.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a kind of funny situation. It's not just stalemate, Brian. It's also that we don't know what the outcome is going to be, because we ourselves can't declare what is the truth. That is to say, do you think really that the general is testifying today without the Bush administration knowing what he's saying? Do you really believe that Ryan Crocker and David Petraeus haven't had video teleconferences with the national security team for days, if not weeks, to shape this testimony and shape the view about what they're presenting and what it is that they believe? They have. And so really what we're watching here is the Bush administration saying that we are going to contend until the last day of this administration that there is a prospect for victory, while at the same time we are going to admit that in fact there's nothing we can do to change the situation, because it's all in the hands of the Iraqis.
William Arkin, my guest on WNYC. He writes the Early Morning blog at WashingtonPost.com as we break down what has occurred so far early this morning in the General Petraeus testimony. And by the way, we will come back to this again next hour for some longer clips and some questioning that we expect from Senator McCain. If you want the full hearing live, we have that at WNYC.org. So, William, do you expect Senators Clinton and Obama to try to distinguish themselves from each other in their questioning at this hearing?
Well, I don't really imagine that we're going to hear a question or a declaration that we haven't already heard, but certainly the news this evening is going to be dominated by what it is that McCain, Obama, and Clinton have said. I don't find that particularly inappropriate, again, because my interpretation is that now we are waiting for the next president to solve the Iraq problem. And so since we are waiting for the next president to solve it, it is really a fabulous opportunity for us to see all three candidates sitting on that committee.
Well, some analysis that I've heard says there aren't actually that many real differences between not only Clinton and Obama, but between the two of them and McCain, despite the different rhetoric, regarding what they will really do on day one in office.
Well,
how true do you think that is?
Well, what they will really do and what will be the real outcome are two slightly different things. And being a little Washington weenie, let me just say that, you know, what people say and what people do, that's what we do in Washington. We dissect that to death. And so of course, any president coming in, whether that's President Carter, President Reagan, or now one of these three presidents, they are faced with the reality of a passive-aggressive bureaucracy and the reality of logistics and physics and all sorts of things that they have visions of what they want to do, and then reality hits them flat in the head on the first day in office. I think that would apply as much to Obama at one end of the spectrum, withdrawal in 2009, and McCain at the other end of the spectrum, victory and being in Iraq for 100 years. And so I think that all of them are going to be faced with the reality. And here's the reality. The U.S. military is going to be in a very strong bargaining position. And I imagine that the U.S. military is going to extract something from the next president, whoever that president is, in order for that president to get whatever it is they want to do. So to me, the bargaining process is a process by which we are waiting upon a president's vision, a president's backbone, to say to the American military, I understand that there are limits on what's possible, but here is what I, as commander-in-chief, are ordering you to do. And it will be a very interesting and unique moment in American history, because it is not clear by any sense that what the President of the United States could say is actually what the consensus in the nation is, mm-hmm, as to what needs to be done.
What do you expect from other Republicans on the committee today? Do you expect us to hear John McCain out there by himself supporting the importance of, quote, victory?
Well, I don't think he'll be by himself. There are other Senate Republicans, such as Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, who hew to pretty much the same position that McCain does, which is to say that there is progress being made, more time is needed, and that, in fact, the United States can't, quote, cut and run. And so I don't think McCain will be out there by himself, but what has impressed me today with the various news stories coming out of the opinion of various House and Senate Republicans, all of whom will have an opportunity in the hearings over the next 2 days to speak, is how many of them are very clear and uncompromising in their view that our eventual goal in Iraq, if not our immediate goal in Iraq, has to be the withdrawal of U.S. forces.
All right. William Arkin, he is author of a number of books on military affairs, the latest Code Names, Deciphering U.S. Military Plans, Programs, and Operations in the Post-9/11 World, and he writes the Early Warning blog for WashingtonPost.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
And we'll come back to this next hour and play clips from the early testimony, including, we think, questioning to come next hour from Senator McCain. If you want the full hearing live, we have that at WNYC.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.